I'd like you to grab your bulletins, please. We're going to look at the front cover. So let's start off and recite this verse, or actually we'll read this verse together, please. This scripture verse right here. So let's go. All scripture is God and is useful for teaching, reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is inspired by God. Familiar verse? It's pretty familiar to us, I think. And out of all the words we have from the Lord today, we're going to focus on just this one verse. I don't know about you, but oftentimes familiarity can be a problem. I think especially when we're thinking about and talking about God's Word. You know, we read a verse like this and we can probably all finish it. All scriptures inspired by God, useful for teaching, reproof, you know, on, just kind of, and leave it at that. As if really it's no big deal. And we're going to get into this and think more deeply about it, about the power of these words, about the power of this book. Every year, the American Bible Society puts out a report called State of the Bible. You might be familiar with it. It's got all kinds of information studying the Bible reading habits or not of Americans. And the most recent study, I'm just going to talk broadly. We're not going to get into the depth of it, but just broadly now. Roughly 50% of people are engaged or have engaged the Bible in the last year. So I'm assuming it's 2018 they're studying. So I guess we could look at that perhaps as good news. Half the population engaged in the Bible. But I think we could also look at the downside. Half the population didn't or were not engaged. And what is a little troubling to me at least is the definition of engaged. According to this study, they defined engaged as reading the Bible 3 to 4 times in a year. Now, obviously, everybody that they talk to doesn't read that little, but that's how they defined it. So obviously, some are more, some are less, but 3 to 4 times a year. If we think about that report, I wonder, why does this book lay on shelves and we take it for granted and don't use it? Have you heard the name or remember the name Howard Rutledge? Howard Rutledge was a pilot, Navy pilot in the Vietnam War. He flew 200 bombing missions over North Korea and then Vietnam before finally being shot down, having to parachute out, and he landed in some small village in Vietnam where he was attacked, beat, and then taken to prison, prisoner of war, the Hanoi Hilton. You've probably heard of it. And that's where he spent the next 7 years, where he was often tortured. He was often shackled in excruciating positions. He was forced to live in solitary confinement. Rats as big as cats, apparently, crawled around in his cell. Terrible conditions. And that's how he lived for 7 years. Well, eventually he was freed, and sometime after he was home, later, he wrote a book called In the Presence of Mine Enemies about this ordeal that he went through. It's interesting because in the book, Rutledge talks about how his fellow POWs and himself struggled to rediscover their faith. They use priceless seconds of communication that they were allowed between each other to try to help each other recall scripture verses, Bible passages. Rutledge wrote, "Everyone knew the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, but the one that prisoners recalled first and quoted most often was," would you like to guess? What do you think? Shout it out. That's right. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Rutledge described how he spent so much time trying to remember Bible stories from Sunday school, trying to remember the things he learned in his Sunday school class, realizing the importance of the scripture verses he memorized. He wrote, "I never dreamed that I would spend almost 7 years, five of which were in solitary confinement, in a prison in North Vietnam, or that thinking about one memorized verse could make the whole day bearable." One verse helped him get through the entire day. Look at that bulletin cover again, please. Look at those words. Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, and then we hear the rest. I don't know about you, but inspired and useful sound boring to me. Think about the words. Think about Howard Rutledge and how that impacted his life. These are sacred writings. It's the power of God in these words and the translations and our familiarity and all of that. The ease of how we can get to this book all adds up to boring. I think we need to think deeply about this passage of Scripture and what is going on here. One New Testament scholar wrote these words, "The trouble with this meaning of inspired is that it doesn't begin to get near what Paul and the other Christian writers mean when they talk about Scripture being inspired. They mean what Paul literally says in verse 16. This thing, this book, hear this, has living breath in it. It's the breath of God Himself." Ever think about that? It's the breath of God Himself. And he continues, "Scripture not only unveils the living God we know in Jesus Christ, but through our reading and pondering, it works this knowledge of God deep into our consciousness and even subconsciousness by story, poetry, symbol, history, theology, and exhortation. Scripture not only gives us true information about how our lives can be transformed, it will itself be part of that process." Howard Rutledge and the other POWs were able to survive because this book, the very words that they spoke to each other and shared with each other, contained life. The very words contain the breath of God Himself. And that's worth pondering and thinking about, isn't it? The power of this book. Thankfully, we don't have to live in those extreme conditions that Rutledge and the other POWs lived in, the Vietnam War, but sometimes I think that perhaps our comfortable times, the free access to this book, might be more dangerous to us in our relationship with the Lord than even being in war. I don't know about you, but I don't really have to rely on God's Word to get through the day. Do you? I can get up in the morning and have my breakfast and go about my duties, and I can come home and I can go to bed at night. And what a tragic mistake to leave this book laying on a shelf, not to experience its power and life. Think about those statistics I shared at the beginning. And think about food, nourishment to your body. How could one survive for 1 year on 3 to 4 meals? We can't. How can your soul survive off 3 to 4 meals in 1 year? It can't. 2 Peter 1, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We need to hear from the Lord frequently, daily, hourly perhaps. Receive this life. Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Listen to this. Sustaining all things by His powerful Word. We need this Word of life. We need it frequently. Power of God's Word. Last week we ended with a psalm, if you remember. If you were here, we ended in a time of praise to the Lord. We're going to do something similar today, although it's going to be not praise. I want you just to sit and listen and receive. I have three little chunks of Scripture I want to share with you, but I want you to sit and listen and receive this power. Receive this breath of life from the Lord God. And so I just encourage you, if you want to close your eyes, you can, but otherwise maybe focus on the cross, something to keep you from getting distracted, and receive these words from the Lord today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. the very breath of God. May you seek it and experience it now and every single day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll receive our tithes and offerings.